Welcome to Soul Church Norwich Podcast. We pray this message will encourage and inspire you.
Should we pray? And then we're going to get into the word today. Father, we thank you for another opportunity to open up your word. We thank you that your word is a source of life. It's a source of hope and strength. And I pray, Lord, as we jump in today, that you will speak to us, Father. Lord, change things in us, Father God. Make us more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Special shout out to everyone who is watching on Facebook Live right now. Come on, let's give all of our Facebook viewers a welcome. Great to have you with us. Drop us a comment. Let us know where you're watching from. Shout out to my mum who's watching from hospital today. And great to have her join us for this as well. I want to say also a special welcome to my good friends from Cape Town, South Africa. Nathan and Brandon Williams are here this weekend. Great to have you here. They're from Liverpool, and that's why they're sitting over that side, just out of the way. And they're great guys. I really, really, really love Nathan and Brandon. And Brandon's the next Wayne Rooney, so watch this space. No pressure. All right, well, growing up, I'm not sure about you, but I certainly did. I think we all faced some fear. Some of it was irrational. But others more understandable. I mean, I remember one of my fears growing up as a little boy was monsters in the garden. Did anyone else have a monsters in the garden phobia? No, it was just me. One other guy at the back, thank you. Monsters in the garden, I made sure every night my curtains were done right to the top, either so the monsters couldn't see me or couldn't get in or something, but it made me feel better as long as the curtains would be completely closed. And there were some nights the fear got on top of me so much that I would run to my mum and dad's bedroom and jump in their bed. Anyone else ever do that? You are just not into this, are you? Who jumped in their parents' bedroom or bed as a little boy or girl? Yeah, that's more like it. Okay. Who remembers that 20-second walk? That 20-second walk from the bedroom to the parents' bedroom felt like 20 miles, didn't it? In the dark and... I don't know what you were. Maybe you were afraid of something else. Maybe it was spiders. Who doesn't like spiders? So I've got no issue with spiders. I think they're great. Thunderstorms, wind. And there's so many different things we can be fearful. Heights. So many different things we can be fearful of. And as we get older, fears don't necessarily disappear. They change. And suddenly we're fearful of losing our job. Suddenly we're fearful of our pension fund crashing. Suddenly we're fearful of running out of money. Suddenly we're fearful of going bankrupt. And the more fear, this is the issue, I want you to grab the hold of this today, but the more fear that we allow in our lives, the harder it is for us to grow spiritually. I'll say that again. The more fear you allow in your life, the harder it is for you to grow spiritually. God's plan for your life is that it would progress, that it would move forward. God wants your life to go from strength to strength. David said in Psalm 84, verse 7, they go from strength to strength. Fear is an enemy of God. Why is it an enemy? Because fear will always stop your life moving forward. Has anybody ever laid in bed and suddenly negative thoughts begin to enter your mind? You begin to feel fearful. I've been actually laid on my bed paralyzed by fear. I'm not talking about necessarily physically, but emotionally paralyzed where you cannot move even your big toe in case the fear takes hold even more. I believe today that the Holy Spirit wants to restart some people's spiritual engines today. I believe this will be a significant service for many of you in this room. Now, most of our adult fears, they fall into four categories. I'm just going to explain these four categories. I think it's important that we understand what fear is, and then we'll talk about how we overcome fear. But they fall into four categories, and I'm going to be vulnerable this morning talking about some of my fears because I think it's important that you realize that I certainly haven't got it all together in this area of my life, but it's something that I'm working on in Christ. The first category is the fear of failure. Now, some of you can probably relate to that a little bit easier than the monsters. Now, for For John Norman, this is my number one battle in my life, is the fear of failure. Now, you might think, well, you don't seem like that. Well, often things don't look like what they seem. You know, I have a fear of what it takes for me as a leader to keep growing and leading the church. What if I fail? What if I mess up? What if something happens in my life? What if this message doesn't work today? What if I personally fail someone in this room? Because at some point at leading the church, John or Chantel or both of us will fail you because we are human. We have skin, we have emotions, we have everything that you have. We've just been given this mandate to lead this church, but we are human. And I love to try and keep people happy. It's one of my strengths, it's one of my weaknesses. And so, you know, every week we get between 10 to 15 requests to have coffee and dinner. And here's the deal. I can't get around to all of them. And people feel let down. People feel, oh, the pastor should be with me. Maybe he should. But here's the deal. I'm human. And so my reaction to that is then I feel like I failed you. And it comes out of fear. Fear of failure. Maybe for you, the fear of failure is a dream that you have. Maybe you fear that your business will fail, your marriage will fail, and you have these fear. Maybe the enemy has told you that you're a failure, and so you live with this constant voice of failure. The second category of fear is the fear of rejection. I think we've all struggled with that at some point. We live in a social media crazed world. We live in fear of people not liking us, accepting us, accepting the way we look, accepting what we say. We live in fear of being, if we're single, we live in fear of being left on the shelf in life, that no one wants us. We live in fear that being left out of the team. We've got a football team. As I mentioned earlier, they won yesterday. I texted them on Thursday and I said, do you need me? They said, we've already got 17 players, John. Now, 10 years ago, they'd have been texting me first. But a couple of extra inches on the belly and the legs aren't quite what they used to be. It's not quite, but you know what? You've got to guard against rejection. The fear of loss. Fear of loss, the third category. Losing a spouse. Losing a child, losing your mind, financial loss. You know, financial loss comes in, or financial fear comes in two categories. And you'll be able to relate to one of these two. The first way is that you don't have enough. Okay, so you have a fear in life, you're always thinking about money, that you do not have enough to pay your bills, enough to take the kids away, you don't have enough. The second fear when it comes to money is you will lose what you do have. Okay, so you're either worrying that you don't have enough or you're worrying that you do have enough and you'll lose it. So whatever way, the enemy's clever when it comes to money. That's why the Bible says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. And I'm going to get to that in a moment. Fear of loss. Then there's the fourth category of fear of the unknown. The unknown. Fear of what tomorrow may bring at work. Fear that there could be cutbacks, there could be redundancies in your workplace. You know, if you think about fear of heights, I don't necessarily have a fear of heights, but I'm not the first to climb up a ladder. Okay, there's other people who enjoy that thing. Does anyone really enjoy going up really high? You're amazing. It's awesome, okay? Here's the thing, right? If you have a fear of heights, you actually don't have a fear of heights, you have a fear of death. It's actually a fear of death. No one's got a fear of heights. They've got a fear of worrying what would happen, where would you go, what would it feel like, where would I end up if I fell off that ladder, if I fell out of that, off that cliff. So there's no such thing as a fear of heights. There is a fear of death. What does it categorize itself in? The fear of the unknown. The fear of the unknown. What a bright start to the message. I want to talk today. And my message is titled, My Fear Belongs to God. My Fear Belongs to God. Why did I start with all that context? The reason is, I believe that, and in a minute we're going to jump onto this, but the first way to overcome fear is you've got to name and shame it. Okay, so you've got to, Let's not pretend. I've been vulnerable today, talking about I'm going to continue to be vulnerable. Let's not pretend we don't have fear. Some of us might have got it together. All of us at some point or have done, we deal with this issue in our lives. And it paralyzes us. It keeps us stuck in life. But Jesus wants to loose people, set them free so they can live out their God-given purposes. And so 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, of love, of power, and of a sound mind." Okay, God wants you to live in power, he wants you to live in love, and he wants you to live with a sound mind. A clear mind is another way to interpret that scripture, a free mind. You know, we have a billboard just down here on the ring road, and this is our new billboard that's just gone up this morning. In fact, 8 o'clock this morning they put this up. And we wanted to send a message to our city that fear is a lie. Fear is a lie. Don't all get too excited. Actually, perfect love casts out all fear. You know, every day we have, over 10,000 cars drive past that. So I don't know what the impact of people that is, but if you think around that figure, 10,000 people every day who are struggling with fear, anxiety, depression, all these things that are connected to fear are going to read that and think, oh my goodness, perfect love casts out all fear. And these messages on these billboards that we're putting up are actually having an impact on our city. In fact, I received an email last night that was sent to our Soul Church account. It says, "Hi Soul Church, I apologize if this is the wrong email to contact you on." No need to apologize, it got there. "I feel I must express my eternal gratitude to Soul Church. You saved my life. You gave me the courage to carry on living. I noticed your big advertisements on the way to and from work with such positive and loving messages on them. They really spoke out to me. I've been battling chronic illness for a while, and each day has been a struggle. Seeing those messages of love and support were amazing, and I'm so grateful. I used to live on a farm not far from the airport, and it would make me smile every time I drove past that advert. Having previously been not very religious, I'm beginning to think more and more that someone is looking out for me. I'd love to come to one of your services if you would have me. Kindest regards and warm wishes." Isn't that beautiful? I think as a church, we have a responsibility to tackle some of the issues that people are facing in their life. That individual came along to the Frontline event on Friday night and absolutely loved it. Fear, it's real in people's lives. Recently, I went on a stag do, and it was Simon Chapman's stag, and we went paintballing. I'm not that good. As the best man, you know they do the run of the stag where the stag runs, and apparently for this organized company, they said that it's the stag and the best man. So I understood what it was to get blasted with paintballs for a few moments. But when we went to the paintball, and we went for a briefing beforehand, and they showed us a video, and then after the video, there was a sales speech, and they offered us to buy some smoke bombs for £5 each. Okay, so smoke bombs, you pull out the pin, chuck it in the enemy's camp, and then they couldn't see, so you can just run in and fire away. As I was driving back, I was thinking about a smoke bomb. You know, a smoke bomb is, it's made to look and intimidate and feel like a grenade, isn't it? But it's actually really harmless. You know what the enemy does? He lobs smoke bombs at us. And we mistake them for real grenades. He lobs smoke bombs of fear of what could happen at work this week. He lobs smoke bombs of things that maybe we get a little bit of a cough and all of a sudden we're dying. Now that's how the enemy plays on your mind. It's just a smoke bomb. And often the smoke bomb, it comes in various different forms. I haven't got time to talk about all the various forms today, but one of the main forms a smoke bomb comes at is it's two words. And here's these two words. What if? What if? Now, we're gonna look at this from the Bible's perspective in the book of Exodus, second book of the Old Testament. There was a group of Israelites, in fact, 2 or 3 million of them, they were stuck in slavery in Egypt. And that was not God's heart for his people. They were God's chosen people. And God said, hey, there is a plan for you and a purpose for you. It's not Egypt. I have a promised land awaiting for you. And I am assigning my leader Moses to take you there. It's going to be a long, hard journey, but you will make it because I am with you. And in Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, this is where God commissions Moses to lead the people from Egypt through the desert into the promised land. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Menites, all the Tites. And now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me. And I have also seen the oppression with the Egyptians oppress them. Wait for this now. Verse 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. That sounds like a great plan unless you're Moses. Has anyone brought you a good idea? And you're thinking, well, why don't you just do that? Now, this is Moses' response back to God. This is what he says back to God. He's had a few days to think about it. He's kind of just digested that information. He goes back to God and he says this in Exodus chapter 4, verse 1. What if they do not believe me or listen to me? Talking about the children of Israel. Isn't the enemy crafty? In that time from God speaking to him to the time of him responding, he came up with the smoke bomb. What if? What if? Who's ever had any what ifs in their life? God gives you a dream. God gives you a word. God gives you a promise. And the first thing that we go back to him is, that's great, but what if? What if it doesn't work? What if I haven't heard from you? You know, when God called us back to Norwich, he called us on a journey, and we came back to the UK in 2014. But I remember when God started speaking to us about this church and the plans he had for us, the first thing I said to God was this, what if? Exactly the same response as Moses. I remember saying, what if this is not from God? What if I become another person or another chapter in history and it's not a good chapter? What if? And I remember reeling, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if? And I came up with this line of what ifs. I remember on the opening Sunday of this church, July the 13th, 2014. That was a great Sunday, and I wasn't too worried because everybody comes out to the first party. Everyone wants to be there on the inaugural service. But the second Sunday, and I've shared this before, the second Sunday at the start of the service, John Norman, Pastor John Norman, was hiding in the toilets on the second floor of this building with the door locked, sitting there thinking, oh my goodness, what if? What if no one shows up? What if fear of failure had grabbed me? Remember, that was the hardest walk to walk from there to my front row seat. What if? Now, I'm being open with you today, and I'm sure that you can share with me your story of the fear of failure, the fear of various different failures that we all face. But God wants to use your life significantly. There is no mistakes in this room. There is no dream that is too big for God. But here's the thing. You've got to get past the what if smoke bomb along the way. What if I can't do it? What if I lose my job? What if my pension crashes? What if the cat gets pregnant? I don't know what your what if looks like. But what if? How many times do we lay in bed at night and we brainstorm what ifs? Has anyone brainstormed what if? I would serve in church, but what if, what if, what if? I would tithe, I would begin to give, but what if I don't have enough? What if we justify everything in our minds by what if. Imagine this. Imagine every time that the enemy throws the smoke bomb of what if at our lives, we responded with this. This belongs to God. This belongs to God. How much energy, negative energy, emotion, do we waste on what ifs? Has anyone ever wasted? Is it just me? Am I preaching to myself here today? Is this helping anyone? This is only an introduction. You see, when I have a persistent fear in my life, or a certain area of my life, it's an indicator of where I'm not trusting God. Okay, let me rephrase that. What I fear is where I trust God the least. I want you to write that down. This is critical here, guys. Just come with me. I can help some people here this morning through God's word. What I fear is where I trust God the least. Okay, if I fear not having enough money in life, it's an indicator to me that I do not trust that God is my provider. That's my indicator. This is the thing. We all have different fears. We all have different concerns. We're not all the same, thank goodness. Your fear is my strength. My strength is your fear. It's the whole deal, okay? But your fear is an indicator to you where you're not trusting God the most. And here's the good news. Now you've identified it, now you know what to do with it. You see, if I fear flying, if I fear getting on an airplane, it is an indicator that I do not see God as my protector. I might see him as my provider. I might see him as a whole lot of other things, but I do not see God as my protector. So my fear indicates where I'm weak spiritually. It's actually good news. Because now I can grow in that area. If you're a footballer or a sportsman, you go training with a team that's way above your league, here's the thing, straight away, you'll realize where you need to grow in. It's not a bad thing, it's a good thing because it helps us raise the bar. So wherever my what ifs are in life is where my lack of trust is. So now I know two things. I know where to read my Bible more regularly, and I know how to direct my prayers. That's cool. So my fears are actually indicators to how I can grow. So for me, if I'm flying, my dad was a great man, but one of his weaknesses was he didn't like to travel. He had a fear of flying. He had a fear of going on trains. He didn't like traveling. But he would always release Joy and I to travel, but he wouldn't just do that in our own strength. He would read the Traveler's Psalm. If you didn't realize, there's a Traveler's Psalm in the Bible. It's Psalm 121, okay? And you declare it over yourself before you travel, okay? So every time before we would go on a plane, go on a long trip, we would join hands in our hallway and we would declare the Traveler's Psalm over our lives. It says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He will keep you. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. That means he's your provider on the trip. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. By the way, you should still put sunscreen on. Okay, just to let you know on that, that's a little. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. Wait for this. The Lord shall preserve your going out. Now, here's the thing. Notice this. It says your going out and your. That means I'm coming back. Whew. It means I can go to London. I can ride the tube. Got on an airplane. I'm blessed when I come in. Here's the promise. He's promised me I can come back. So I can actually rest in that. From this time forth and forevermore. So it wasn't a one-off promise to David. It's forevermore. For this trip, the next trip, the one after that, till kingdom comes, I'm protected when I travel. I like it. This is a good intro. If you have your own home, who likes to know the value of it? right? So if you come on, just put your hand up. Who likes to think it's going? Right, so three of us in this room have our own home. We like to know the value of it. Right, who likes to know the value of their home? Okay, so every now and then you'll pop on Zoopla or Rightmove, whatever, and you'll check out the value of how your home is progressing. Now, I want to help you with something today because I want to give you the value of your fear. Okay, because we spend a lot of time doing it, and I've done a lot of, so I want to give you the value. Just as you know the value of your own home, I want to give you the value of your fears, what it's going to do for your life. Are you ready? In fact, the Bible's going to do it. Matthew 6. This is what I tell you. Do not worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Wait for this. Can all your worries, fears add a single moment to your life? What are we doing? We just need to loosen up. Laying in bed, thinking about all the what ifs, allowing the smoke bombs to come into our life, it is doing nothing to our lives but decreasing the value. All right, that's the intro. That really is the interview. Oh, no, that wasn't. There's one more bit of the intro. So I'm going to ask us a question here. So if it adds nothing to our life, this is the question I'm asking myself. Why do we worry? It's a good question. Why are we fearful? I'm going to give you the answer. You ready? Because we like being in control. We love being in control. We like to control everything. To live without fear means giving your fear over to your Heavenly Father, which means losing control. But actually, we seem to be more comfortable in living with it, even though it's robbing us of our destiny. Because we have to completely trust God. All right, that was the intro. How do we overcome fear in our lives? Three things. I've already given you the first one, but I'll repeat it again. How do we overcome fear? You've got to name it and shame it. You've got to name it and shame it. Everyone say, name it.
Name it.
And shame it.
Shame it.
Have the courage to recognize your fear. Okay? I pray that today, especially as men, we're not as good at this as the ladies. I pray we have the courage to actually recognize our struggles. It's not macho to hide it. Okay, that's not macho. Macho is being vulnerable enough to say, because of my children and because of my family, I want to grow in God. I want to grow as a man so I can be a better husband, a better dad. I can be a better leader. And so if I don't deal with the inward stuff in my life, I'm going to be stuck and I will stay the same. And so the first thing we do is we have the courage to recognize it. Every Sunday, I've talked about this before, but I have to name and shame my fear before standing up in front of people. I say four things to myself every Sunday before I speak at a staff meeting, team meeting, or when I'm traveling, and I speak to my fear because I still feel fearful about standing up in front of people. What if the message doesn't work? What if people don't listen? What if people walk out? I have all these fears. What if fears, smoke bombs come to me? Just as you do in your daily life, in your meetings at work, and the things that you address in your personal life, just like I do. And so every day I have to name it and shame it. And so when the fear comes knocking at my door, I say these four or five things. The first thing I say to myself before I get up in front of a group of people is this: this was not my idea. Straight away, I feel relieved because I didn't choose this. God did. I didn't come up with this belongs to God. God did. I didn't come up with this message. God gave it me. So everything we're doing as a church came from God. So I'm not walking up there in my own strength. If I am, I'm going to fail pretty quickly. The second thing that I say to myself is this: you've anointed me for this. God said to Jesus, he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon you. He has anointed you. We have been anointed for every situation that we face in life. The third thing I say to myself is this: your words are in my mouth. Your words, not my words, your words. When you go into that board meeting this week, when you go into that marriage counseling place this week, this is what you say: your words are in my mouth. My words are from my flesh. God's words are from His Spirit. You want God's words to come out of your mouth this week. It's God's words that breathe life into a dark situation. The fourth thing I say to myself is this: I love these people. Well, don't you look happy that I love you? I love these people. And I mean it. I love these people. So it gives me a sense of, I actually really want to help these people. This isn't just another message. I actually want this message to help you because I love you. And the fifth thing I say is this belongs to God. So if it goes wrong, guess what? Blame Him. It belongs to Him. And as I do that, this sense of actually, I've named and shamed the devil and said, you know what? He loses power over me as I say those things. Yeah. Now, I don't know what you need to speak over your life, over your situation, over your fear. But every time "what if" comes knocking on your door, you need to have a response. When "what if" comes to your bed at night and starts speaking things, you've got to have a coping mechanism to be able to disperse fear from your life. So when I jump up and what if I stutter, what if I mess up, what if I forget, what if I, straight away, this belongs to God. I don't know what your fear is, but you need to name it and shame it first. The second thing we need to do is surrender it. Surrender it. 1 Peter 5:7 says, give all your fears and your worries and cares to God, for He cares for you. God is not leaving you alone. He has not abandoned you. He cares for you. Now, the thing with surrender is this, is it means losing control. This is what we don't like doing. In fact, this is the hardest part. Naming and shaming is hard, but this is the next step. This is actually saying, God, I surrender my fear to you. I can't do this for you. You can't do it for me. We surrender over to God. We let it over to God because fear belongs to Him. You make a decision today before you walk out of those doors that my fear belongs to God. Make that decision. This is where God comes and He renews your mind. If you're worrying about money too much, and let me tell you, I'm not talking about being careless with money. I'm not talking about, you know, the odd thought comes in. But if you're consistently waking up, going to sleep, thinking about money, money has control over your mind, and you need to let it go. God is your provider. He is your source. The Bible says He has never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. He will care for you. He will provide for you. He will give you everything you need so you can lay your head on the pillow tonight and rest in His love. But it begins by naming it and shaming it and surrendering it. Surrendering it. And number three, as the worship team come up, by the way, this one gets even harder. You've got to trust God with it. That sounds a bit of a cliche. Trust God with it. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own thinking. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on your what ifs. Let me give you an example. If you're scared of flying, for some of people, that's a real fear. First of all, you've got to recognize that fear. It's actually stopping you discovering some of the most beautiful places around our world. God wants you to fly. Someone needs to hear that today. God wants you to fly. And you've got to name it and shame it. The second thing is you've got to surrender it, which means you have a mindset shift that actually, God can handle this, and I surrender my fear to you. The third thing you got to do is get on a plane. Because that's where the trust comes in. That is where the trust comes in. Now, I've given you some scripture. We had a family holiday recently, and one of my mum's friends, Jenny, came with us on the flight. I don't want to embarrass her, but she said to me, I was sitting there, I didn't realize that she had a fear of flying. She said, for many years, I haven't been able to get on a plane. I sat next to her. For me, flying's not an issue at all. It's just not a fear. Bit of bump is a bit of fun. It's just the way I see it. But for a lot of people, that's real. That's real for people. They cannot get on an airplane. And as we got back home, I said, how you feel? She said, I've missed out on so much in my life because fear kept me small. Fear kept me grounded. I want to encourage you today. You got to name it and shame it. You got to surrender it, but then you got to trust God, which means you got to step out. If you're worried about money, can I give you some help? Give some away. Oh, no. Well, that's the only way you're going to trust God. If you're continually talking about money, it's money is at the root issue of some of your problems. The best thing you can do is just get rid of someone. Bless someone. Guess what? As you release it and surrender it, you're saying, God, I release this. I trust you with this. You actually become free of the curse of money. Take these words to heart today. I want to read one more verse. Psalm 34, verse 4. It says, I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Can you just notice two things from this verse as we conclude this morning? Two things. It wasn't a self-help book. It wasn't a walking on hot coals seminar. It wasn't medication that delivered David from all his fears. It says it was the Lord. I sought the Lord. Where's fear? Where do you find freedom from fear from? It's not in the latest self-help book. It's from the Lord. It's from the Lord. It's from his word. That's where freedom from fear is found. And the second thing we notice from this scripture is this. It says, I sought the Lord, he answered and delivered me from all. All. Everyone say all.
All.
All. God can handle all fears. I can't. You can't. He can. You know, when fear starts creeping back, and often it does. You know, one of the things I often find myself doing, I do it in worship a lot, is I put my arms around myself like that and imagine these as the loving arms of Jesus. In bed, if I am a fearful, I just wrap my arms around myself and I imagine that that's the Father's loving arms and all my fears, all my worries, all my concerns. And let me tell you, as we take on new ground in this church, let me tell you, there's never been a day that I'm living and breathing this every step, every moment, every hour. I'm wrapping my arms around myself and saying, come on, we can do this. We can do this. God has not given me this spirit of fear. I'm not going to allow anything. I'm not going to allow negativity. I'm not going to allow anything to hold me back. I'm going to step and reach into the plans that God has for me. I will not stay stuck. I will not live in fear. I will not live in worry, because God's got a plan to prosper me, to bless me, to give me a future and a hope. God can handle all fears, every worry, every concern. I'm wrapped in his big arms. He loves you today. I'm going to finish with this. The greatest adventures, the greatest memories, the greatest moments in your life are on the other side of fear. The other side. If you're experiencing hardship and challenges, can I encourage you today? Name it and shame it. Surrender it. And trust God with it. Let me tell you, the greatest days for you as a marriage, as a family, they are ahead of you. Cast your burdens, cast your cares upon the Lord. He will sustain you. All your fears in Jesus' name. Someone needs to hear that again. All your fears, all your concerns, all your worries. Nothing's going to shock God. Nothing's out of his reach. Nothing's out of his control. Come on, would you stand to your feet? Would you begin to praise God? Would you begin to offer up a shout of praise? Come on, lift your hands. We're going to sing this song. I'm no longer afraid, because God, God, you are with me. Come on, let's sing it out together. Thank you, Lord. You know, the greatest fear, I'm told, is the fear of the unknown, of what happens when we leave this earth. That's what I'm told. That's the greatest fear that people live with. I was speaking to some influential people recently who don't know the Lord, and I said to him, do you ever think about what happens on the day that you leave this earth? And his response was, yes, every day. He says, but I try not to think about it. That's a reality. We don't talk about it. We don't want to think about it. But here's the deal. One day, all of us will leave this earth. None of us are exempt. You might have the latest membership at the gym. You might be drinking aloe vera. It doesn't matter. We're all gone. Nothing can stop it. Death is inevitable. No one's ever beat it, and no one ever will. But here's the good news. You do not have to have fear about what's on the other side of death. Because Jesus Christ, He died on a cross, not so that we could just have life and purpose in this life, but we can have a hope for eternity, which is heaven. We're a church, we speak about heaven and we speak about hell. You're in the wrong church if you don't believe in hell. There is a heaven, there is a hell. And one day, we're all going to choose where we spend eternity. The Bible says in Deuteronomy, choose this day whom you'll serve. And every opportunity we have on a Sunday, we give people the opportunity to respond. And it gives you the peace. One of the reasons that I really am not fearful of flying is that if anything happened, I know where I'm going. Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I live, I win. I die, I win. It's a win-win. It's a win-win. It's not because I'm careless or carefree. It's just that I have the peace of God in my heart that one day when I leave this earth, I'm going to spend eternity with Him. I tell you what, that's the only way to live. I don't have to worry about tomorrow. I don't have to be fearful. Jesus is with me. Jesus is with you. And this morning I'll give you an opportunity simply to open up your heart to the love of Jesus. He wants to come in. He wants to remove that fear. He wants to remove that shame, remove that sin. And He won't just leave a void in your life. He'll fill it with His love and His grace and His peace. And you'll be able to walk into work tomorrow with your shoulders back, your head held high, and something will have changed in your life. It's Jesus Christ. He's the one who gives you life. He's the one who gives you a future. So I want everyone just to close their eyes. I want to pray for you. You're saying, that's me today, John. I've never made a decision to become a follower of Jesus. In fact, when you were talking about the fear of the other side, that was me. I don't know what would happen if I was to leave this earth today. Let me tell you, you can have the assurance of heaven. You can have it today by simply receiving Jesus. Maybe you once said a prayer in a meeting like this or a friend's house or a camp when you were younger, but you've distanced yourself from God. You've gone away this morning. You can come home. You can begin again that relationship with Him. I'd love to pray for you too. So when I get to three, I just want you to slip up your hand. Say, John, include me in that prayer. I want to get my life right with God this morning. Begin again. Fresh start. New beginning. All over this room. Every Christian praying right now. One, God loves you. Two, would you have the courage right now in this moment to give your fears, your worries, your concerns about your future to Him? Three, just slip up your hand all over this room. Say, John, pray for me. God bless you. God bless you. Beautiful. God bless you. God bless you. Beautiful. That's it. Fantastic. Amazing. Beautiful. That's it. I want us to say this prayer out loud together. It's a prayer that we say every week. It's a powerful prayer. It's a prayer that will bring turnaround and change into your life. It goes like this. We say it together. Dear Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that He loves me. Thank you that He sent His Son to die on a cross. And 3 days later, He rose again. Right now, I'm sorry for my sin. I repent of living life my own way. I put my life in your hands. I'm now a follower of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give a hand to everybody who said that prayer this morning. Beautiful. If you lifted up your hand for the first time, or maybe you didn't lift up your hand because maybe you're concerned about what people think. It's not about lifting up your hand. It's about really saying that prayer and believing from your heart. Maybe you didn't feel quite ready, but you want to send an SMS to the church. You can SMS the number on the screen behind me, and it's going to come up. Text that with the word hope, and we'd love one of our team to get in contact with you this week. But if you did lift up your hand in the service, we've got a gift. It's a Bible for you. Beautiful picture illustrated. contemporary version of the Bible, I know it's going to help you. And so make sure before you leave this place, if no one saw your hand, come and approach us. We'd love to help you. And we also, we talked about it earlier, we run Growth Track, which is a discipleship program. This isn't the end, it's the next step forward, and we want your life to grow in your newfound faith. So come on, once again, come on, let's thank everyone who's made that decision today. God did not give you fear. God did not give you fear. If you are worrying, if you are fearful right now, it did not come from God. Which here's the deal, we're gonna let go of it this morning. Some people, that was a hard-hitting message, because some of you have lived in fear for so long that it's become normal. So your normal now is fearful, which means we need to rewire you, or God does, so you live in freedom, not fear. So God wants to give you a new normal in your life now. And a new normal is going to have dramatic effects on your life. Because you're now going to work thinking about all the good things that are going to happen this week, not in fear of all the bad things. It's a new normal. You're now going to look at your bank account through new normal eyes. And it says, God, I might not have enough, but it's enough for what you need to do in my life this week. And I thank you that more's coming. You see how different that is? It's a new normal. It's living in freedom. God has called you to be a warrior, not a worrier. Now, just listen to what I'm about to say, but I mean this. Would the real you please come out? The real you. Because God did not create a fearful you. It's what you have become. So I'm asking today, as your pastor, for the real you that God created, the bubbly, smiley, full of fun, fearless, warrior, son and daughter of the living God. I'm inviting you today, please step out. Step out! Step out! Step out! Step out! Step out! Step out! Come on, I invite you! Step out! Step out! Step out! I'm as passionate as I've ever been. That's what happens when you put me on a plane for 48 hours in 1 week. I was so hemmed in, I was writing as much as I could. I need you to step out. Because our city needs the real you. Your business needs the real you. Your marriage needs the real you. It doesn't need the grumpy, angry you. It needs the God-fearing, come on, the courageous you. You gotta step out. All right. Now, who is gonna be brave enough to name it and shame it? Step out. My hand's up. You haven't seen the real John Orman yet. Next week, you're going to get a glimpse of him. Chantel and I are going to see a glimpse of our heart next week. We're stepping out. I need you to come with me. I need you to step out. Step out away from comfort. Step out away from fear and worry. This week, you're going to sleep like a baby. Put the pills down the toilet. Someone needs to hear that as well. Stick the pills down the toilet and flush them away. What did I just read? I sought the Lord, and He answered me, and He delivered me from all my fears. Come on, come on. Who's going to step out? I'm stepping out. Father, right now, we name and shame our fears and our worries right here. We name them right now. Come on, name it and shame it right now. Shame the devil. Shame him right now. Shame him. You shame him right now. Tell him. Come on. Shame him. Don't be scared. Shame the devil right now, whatever that fear is. You'll never get out of debt. For some of you, that's a fear. Shame the devil. Tell him right now, you're coming out. You're coming out. Shame the devil today. Now we're going to surrender it. We're going to surrender it right now. I want you to surrender over to God right now. Just lift it up. Cast your cares, your fears, your concerns. Right now, give it to Him. He's big enough. He can handle it. Shh, come on, that's it. That's it. Give it to Him. If you're watching on Facebook right now, someone's sitting in their bedroom, someone's sitting in their kitchen, and you're watching it right now, surrender it and let it go in Jesus' name. Surrender it. Now, trust God with it. Step out. Step out. I want the real you to come out. We haven't seen you for a long, long time. We haven't seen you, but you're coming out. You're coming out. Don't be afraid of what people think. It will cost you something. There's a price to pay, but the Lord is with you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. It might not make sense. Some of you need to give some money away because money's got control of your life. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I declare freedom this morning over your church. Freedom, Father God. Perfect love casts out all fear, Father God. We walk out of this room this morning knowing that you are with us, Father God. Knowing, Father, that fear is no longer our master, it is our slave, Father God. We walk in faith, we walk in victory this week in Jesus' name. Now, if there's any people who are going to step out this morning, begin to lift your hand, begin to raise your voice and declare it today. Thank you, Lord. Now, the rubber meets the road. Monday's coming. What are we going to do? Fear belongs to God. Someone in here needs to book an airplane flight quickly. Go and explore the world. It's a beautiful place. It's a beautiful place. Go and enjoy yourself. Some of you need to laugh and smile. I want to see some happy faces in the cafe today. The joy of the Lord is returning to people's souls. Because when fear leaves, joy arrives. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We'd love to see you at one of our Sunday services. For locations and times, please visit soulchurch.com.